Remain standing. Set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I wanted to slip that collect of the day in, just in case we have any liturgical police here. What I said at the beginning was simply my collect of the day, but anyway, we got the collect in there. Well, welcome to Super Sunday. First, let me say how much I appreciated being here the first time a few weeks ago. You were all gracious and welcoming, and I truly enjoyed the liturgy and the fellowship times with you all. For those that weren't here when I came in January, I am the Reverend Donald Goodhart, a retired Episcopal priest. My wife Ronnie and I moved to Tampa a little over 3 years ago, and our home parish is St. John's in Tampa. I have served parishes big and small all over the country, from Seattle to New Hampshire, finally moving to Florida from North Carolina, where I was rector of St. Paul's Winston-Salem, a wonderful active parish of almost 3,000 members. We have 4 children and 8 grandchildren who occupy a great deal of our time in retirement. One thing I didn't mention last time is that in my retirement, I decided to fulfill a lifelong interest and became a licensed realtor. So I'm kind of your all-purpose priest. I cover the spiritual and the physical. And if any of you have a house to sell, just let me know. In any case, anyone here just a little tired this morning? Now, I'm not talking about being physically tired. I'm talking about being tired of all the negative news and a turmoil that seems to be surrounding our country at this present time. There's an old quote that says we should preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Now, that quote has been attributed to many people, everyone from Abraham Lincoln to Billy Graham, but actually, it was a 20th century theologian, Karl Barth, who said it in a Time magazine article in 1963. He said, take your Bible and take your newspaper and read both, but interpret newspapers from your Bible. I suppose today we would say, have the Bible in one hand and the internet in the other, but make sure you interpret the internet from the Bible. And yes, our preaching should always address what is going on in the world. It has to be relevant. But, and this applies regardless of how you stand politically, don't you just sometimes feel like throwing out the newspaper and getting rid of the internet, and not to mention network and cable television? I mean, just get rid of all that negative stuff that seems to swirl around us at times. Well, if you feel that way, I have good news for you. Indeed, not just any good news, super good news. Because as I'm sure you know, the meaning of the word gospel is good news. And yes, our mission as Christians is always to proclaim good news. Specifically, of course, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read our scriptures today, you will see that we are not alone in facing turmoil around us. By that I mean, look at Isaiah. In the times of Isaiah or St. Paul or in Jesus, there were also difficult times where people were in desperate need of good news. In the time of Isaiah, there were food shortages and famine and drought. Groups outside the Judean community regarded the returning Israelites, remember they had come back from their exile, back to Israel, and the groups around them regarded them with suspicion. And as they returned, there were disagreements among them about how welcoming to outsiders the community should be. In our epistle reading, St. Paul addresses the situation in Corinth. Corinth, where the environment around them was filled with licentiousness and corruption, and the church let some of that sleaziness seep into the community, and there were signs of great division. Finally, in the gospel, we know that the people of Jesus' time were tired of Roman oppression and were desperately seeking a leader to deliver them. So how did those biblical writers arrive at good news? For Isaiah, it starts with getting rid of empty ritual and purposeless fasting. You fast only to quarrel, Isaiah says, and to fight and strike with a wicked fist. No, the prophet says what God wants is to humble yourself, to loose the bonds of injustice, to house the homeless and share your bread with the hungry. And then comes the good news. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Yes, Isaiah was not just proclaiming gloom and doom, as some have said about the prophets. He was proclaiming hope and healing. Following the way of the Lord brings good news. For the Apostle Paul, he addresses the divisions and quarrels in the Corinthian church by appealing to the wisdom that is beyond human understanding. It is the things that God has revealed to us by the Spirit of God that matter. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And therein lies the good news. When we listen to the Spirit of God, we understand everything in a new light, and the divisions and the turmoil that surround us fade away. We see, and I quote, what God has prepared for those who love him. We see the glory of God that is so bright that it dispels all darkness. And then in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, it is all about being salt of the earth and letting our light shine. Salt, of course, is a seasoning with a sharp taste that had a considerable value in ancient times. And we are not to be like the rest of the world about us, but to be that sharp reminder of the ways of God. In a similar way, we are to be the light of the world, not to let good news go unnoticed amidst all the bad news, but to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the good news so that all can see it. Jesus says we have a treasure, the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. We have the word of God incarnate who brings salvation and peace to the world. Lots of good news from Jesus. So you see, it is about keeping our focus on God, on Christ, and thereby living in the Spirit of God. I mentioned the parish that I retired from in North Carolina in year 2007. I still, of course, keep up with a number of people there, so I usually have some sense of what is going on in that parish. In late 2013, I began to hear rumblings of problems, including the fact that the rector who replaced me had abruptly taken a leave of absence without any explanation. Things began to escalate, and I heard that the rector was accused of misconduct. No one knew by whom or what kind of misconduct it was, but that provided a great deal of turmoil among congregation, of course. Finally, it came out that one of his women priest associates was the one accusing him of inappropriate conduct. Both ended up leaving the parish by the end of the year. And to say that the parish was in turmoil would be an understatement. It was badly divided by factions who favored either the rector or the associate. And my heart ached to see the parish that I loved in so much pain. But there was not much I could do about it except pray and listen to people who called me. Then what seemed to be a chance encounter changed everything. Now, my wife was born in the Bronx in New York City, and we have to make a yearly pilgrimage back to New York City. And we usually do it in December so we can see the Christmas lights and go to a couple of Broadway shows. Well, this particular year, 2013, we were flying in, and because of the weather, our plane was delayed. So we were circling LaGuardia Airport for a while, finally landed. We got off the plane and went into the crowded waiting area because all those people, of course, were waiting for their plane, which was late leaving. And as we walked off the plane, suddenly a woman came out of nowhere and hugged my wife and came and hugged me. And I was taken aback. I was trying, who do I know in New York City that would come and hug us? But turned out it was a woman I recognized finally from the church that I had left in North Carolina. She and her husband were taking a little vacation there in New York City, and she just happened to be on the vestry. So, of course, we sat down to have a little conversation before they called her flight, and we talked a little bit about New York City, but, of course, we couldn't avoid talking about St. Paul's, the church where she was on the vestry that I had left in 2007. And she was lamenting all the turmoil that was going on. So we prayed a little bit together about it, and she said something like, well, I wish you could come back and set everything straight. And I said, well, of course, you know, that's not possible, but I certainly will be praying for you. Well, after our little trip to New York City, we returned to Tampa. We had just actually moved to Tampa, and so we were just trying to get settled there. And I had my little morning prayer time, and in that prayer time, that encounter with the woman on the vestry at LaGuardia Airport kept coming to me. I didn't know quite why. Of course, I was praying for that parish. But then a little voice, kind of in the back of my brain, said, wouldn't it be great to go back there and set everything straight? Well, I thought, that must be my ego talking after all. I mean, I can set everything straight, of course. And my wife was very quick to reassure me that that was my ego talking. I have learned after 43 years of marriage that I do need to listen to her. And it does make everything go a bit more smoothly. But in any case, I dismissed the thought. But there was one phrase that kept coming to me in my prayer time, and this happened several days in a row. And that phrase was, how do you know if you don't ask? Well, despite all the reasons why I shouldn't, I wanted to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit. So, finally, I did. I did ask. After talking it over with my wife, of course, I wrote an email to the Bishop of North Carolina, who happened to be Michael Curry, who has since become, of course, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. I wrote him an email late one night, I think about 11 o'clock at night. When I woke up the next morning, I was surprised to see an email that he had written at 6 a.m. the next morning saying, that is a grace-filled idea that you might return to St. Paul's. Much to my surprise, that door opened. He said, well, why don't you pray about it? Let's talk with the senior warden and vestry of the parish, and let's pray about it together. And to make a long story short, I did return to that congregation as the interim rector, and it was an amazing experience. There was a lot of healing that happened while I was there. And as I was leaving, they did call a new rector, a young man who'd actually grown up in that congregation. And he's been there now 2.5 years, and it's a wonderful fit. That church is thriving again. They're involved more in the community than ever. Just in the past year, they added 100 new families. So thanks be to God that we were able to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, I also want to say that I'm not applying anything about the interim or search process here at Holy Innocence. But I just wanted to give you an example of what it means to listen to the Spirit, because that's what it's all about. That's where the good news comes from. If we are listening to the Spirit together, we can truly hear where God is leading us. So, if you are tired of the negativity that seems to surround us and the world about us, know that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, eclipses everything. Our focus needs to be on the Holy Spirit and not on political upheaval or any other kind of turmoil. We need to be united in our commitment to our Lord. We need to be clear that the good news outshines any bad news that we might hear. Keeping our focus on Christ, that's what it's all about. Keeping our focus on Christ, we need to listen for the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We are called not just to hear good news, but to spread it. We are called to be the salt of the earth. That is who we are. We are called, above all else, to do what Jesus says in the gospel reading. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.